The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Lots of you will have seen the headlines today around this report, a new study revealing that a united Ireland could cost up to $20 billion a year for 20 years. Now, up to, in that sentence, doing a lot of heavy lifting, which we might get into in a few minutes. It's according to the Institute of International and European Affairs, the think tank, that is who has commissioned this survey. Our reporter Barry White has been in Newtown Hamilton today to see what people made of the figure.
For it.
Why would you be for it?
Because Ireland should belong to the Irish.
What about the costing? If it was the cost, billions per year, would that put you off?
It's a lot of money for it to get six counties, but in the end, it might be worth it.
I'd be against it on account of the cost of it. I don't think we can afford it at this particular minute in time. I think we have an awful lot in common with Northern Ireland, but I just think that at this moment in time, the cost of unity would be too much. Especially when you consider at the minute, with all the homelessness, people can't afford housing and all that sort of thing, I just don't think it's the right time for it.
So do you think things would be worse under reunification?
I think they will, yes. I do think they will. You saw what happened in West Germany and East Germany. It took a long time to recover from the effects of reunification.
For it. Why, I think it'd be good for the country.
Would the cost put you off?
No.
What do you think the benefits would be?
Well, I'd say there'd be a lot of... you'd have the one politician dealing with the whole country. I think it'd be better, you know, than the way it is at the moment.
I'd have to say it before. It's like, you know, just better to have us all together instead of having a border and having everyone giving out to each other most of the time. Like.
Would you have any worries about the costs to the economy?
I think overall it'd probably work out better, you know. At least then you've the two sides coming together. Maybe actually worked towards something a bit better for the country. Like.
I don't know. I'm on the fence on it, to be quite truthful with you. I really don't know. That's if I'm being honest with you.
I really, there's not enough information, not enough out there yet. And like everything else, figures are just picked. I mean, everything that has ever had a cost to it has ended up costing more, if you know what I'm saying. So, I don't think either side at the minute is in a state to actually unite. To be honest with you.
Or against it. I think we've been hard now looking after 26 we have. We're struggling to keep ourselves going. People in Ireland, in the south of Ireland, don't wake up every morning thinking about the night in Ireland. They wake up thinking about the problems they have paying the electricity and the gas and everything else. Never mind the night. It doesn't cost me at all. I'd vote against it.
All right, some of the views being shared with our reporter Barry White from Dundalk there. With me in studio to discuss, Robbie Smith, editor of Unfublocked, former General Secretary of Sinn Féin, and Joe Lynham, our own business editor here in News Talk. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome. Joe, I might start with you because $20 billion every year for 20 years, you know, it's kind of a headline-grabbing figure. I was listening to John Fitzgerald this morning and he was on News Talk Breakfast and other places, and he acknowledged that that is a kind of a speculative figure. It could be as low as 8 billion. It could be anywhere in between. How difficult is it to actually assess the cost of something like this?
It's really difficult because to come up with a figure, first of all, I'm naturally suspicious whenever there's a super round number, and 20 billion a year is a super round number. That's equivalent to the health budget every single year on top of the existing expenditure that will be required. Over 20 years, who can say what the situation will be in 20 years? And you cannot assume that things would just remain stagnant. You should, but you cannot gauge how an economy would change in the event of a massive economic and political upheaval that would be wrought by unification. So if, for example, you did want to spend $20 billion a year on reunification, that would have returns. So it could pay itself back, and it may not be $20 billion a year at the end of the 20 years. It may be net positive at the end of the 20 years. But at the moment, there are two very different economies. And they would need major changes to bring them closer together. Ahead of the local elections last year, Sinn Féin said that the North had the lowest wages, lowest economic growth, lowest productivity, and highest economic inactivity in these islands. So if you were to bring that economy together, and they're not my words, together with the Republic, where productivity is much higher. We've had confirmation of that this week. Wages are much higher, and expenditure is much higher. Longevity is much higher. People are living longer. It would take time. But an economy, Kieran, it's dynamic. It adapts. Mm. And so, for example, you could get quite a few companies saying, well, you know, I'm going to set up a business in Bangor or in Lisburn or in Belfast because the wages are lower and the rents are lower. And that would become self-dynamic.
But I get my interpretation of what you're saying is that the further along the timeline you go, that the less accurate, I guess, you can be about what the economic situation might look like. At the outset, there would be a cost, though, wouldn't there? I mean, it's hard to imagine the economic situation being that dynamic.
Absolutely. And just going back to the number of people who are economically inactive, I mean, many of that are people, so-called community advisors, community activists, who are just paid not to engage in conflict. And they would have to be brought into the workforce. And that could take years, it could take decades. And we don't know how quickly the universities would adapt in Northern Ireland to meet the all-island 32-county economy. So there's so many known unknowns that, you know, even 10 years out, you cannot forecast exactly. And then, of course, there's how much money would come from London. What kind of dowry would come from London? Because I suspect, having lived there for 20 years, quite a few voters in England, Wales and Scotland will say, well, we'd like that 1 billion a month in euros that goes to Northern Ireland. We'd like that spent in Manchester or in Brighton or Bradford.
Robbie Smith, I mentioned, is with us as well in studio. Robbie, when you see a figure like this, 20 billion a year over 20 years, what's your reaction to it? How do you interpret it?
Well, I despaired this morning when I heard the news. I was not surprised that the Irish Times and the Independent and RTE and yourselves all want to headline something like this. How can we talk about United Ireland in a negative way? And then if suddenly the ball is passed, I think it could be a bargain. But I think the figure's wrong. And I think...
Before we talk about how it's wrong, how would 20 billion a year be a bargain?
Because I think, what Joe said, you know, an unproductive part of the island could become a very productive part. The island economy is going to grow. Think about it. In 2008, the government here underwrote a banking guarantee for 400 billion euro and no one took notes. And we're quibbling here about 20 billion a year. But again, I think the figure is vastly overstated. What isn't in the report is, well, what's the cost of partition on rural Ireland and the schism on the island between East and West and particularly the Northwest? What that cost isn't counted. So there's negative costs that have been borne in the 26 counties and the six all the way since partition. And I think that the issue about, you know, the British reparation, because that's what it should be. It's the outcome of their colonialism on the island. And they should pay and they should be glad to pay.
Yeah, but I mean, telling them they should pay and they should be glad to pay is a lot different from the reality of getting them to pay.
But they're paying now. They were prepared to pay $1 billion a year for securitizing the island and bringing
voters on this island. Any voters on this island anymore? And as Joe says, if you've got voters in Manchester or Edinburgh or anywhere else, a kind of mainland Britain, who want that money?
Yeah, I think you're underestimating.
Why would they?
There's a number of things here. There's an East-West relationship between the islands, and I've been amazed at the ability of Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak to ignore that in the last couple of years. The islands themselves can be a powerful economic entity. It would be better if they were a powerful economic entity within the European Union. I think Northern Ireland is going to be very well placed because there's a sizable community that wants to have a relationship with Britain and wants to have an economic relationship with Britain and the EU. This is an unlit powerhouse economy, I think.
Like, does a figure like this, even if it were accurate, does it matter in a political sense? Because the people who are going to be most aghast at it, we'll put it that way, won't be voting in a border poll.
Well, they won't be voting, but they've managed to turn the news this week about a United Ireland into a cost issue. And that shouldn't be what it's about. Like, if you want to talk about costs...
Well, the reason it's a story today is because the Institute of International European Affairs commissioned
a survey. Why they did that and why they didn't include the cost of the negative effects in the Northwest and the West of partition. Why didn't they include that? And for example, I actually think, if you want to talk about costs, the most serious cost that we face as an island is going to be dealing with climate change. And in the next decade and two decades, 20 billion will seem not a lot of money when it comes to dealing with climate change. Like, even one example, right now on this island, we're heading into a fodder crisis because of the persistent rain.
Mm.
It's a huge problem across the island. It can only be solved environmentally across the island. Like, that report doesn't deal with issues like energy independence.
What has that got to do with the price of a bag of chips now?
It's you know what I mean? That's a cost that we're actually...
I don't understand now how kind of... Lads not doing a second cut of silage because it was so wet in July and August has anything to do with the international and European Affairs think tank.
Because the state will have to, the states, north and south, will have to accommodate this and pay for that.
Mm.
And they will, and they can. And so if you're actually going to count something, you should count all the externalities, the negative and the positives. That report doesn't. It's a bean counting of this is how much money we have, this is how much the British come, this is how much comes from the European Union. There's a much wider picture.
Okay. Would you accept or that in the short term, post-unification, there would be a cost on the exchequer, on the taxpayer, indirectly in this country?
No. I don't.
That's the implication of this, I think I heard John Fitzgerald and people would have heard it in the clip there talking about people's taxes increasing.
If we go back to the banking guarantee, the state was able to find the wherewithal to keep the banks open, keep things going.
But there was a cost on the individual.
Yeah, and the cost to us was 45.7 billion.
Yeah.
So we were able to accommodate that. There's lots of people still in debt because of it.
Yeah, it's a very painful experience. I'm not sure it's the selling point you think it is.
No, but I'm just saying that the state, north and south, has the potential to accommodate these things.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I don't think anybody is suggesting that kind of...
And I don't think the cost...
The kind of foundations of the state would crumble, that we would manage it. I think what kind of puts a halt to people's gallop when they hear this is maybe memories of austerity idea that we would go through it again.
No, I don't think we will.
Okay.
And there's an alternative version of the figure that puts it around 2.5 billion, which is, you know, like if you think about it, about 1/8 of what John Fitzgerald's figure is. So I think we need to think about it like that. And there's huge social benefits from this and huge economic benefits. You know, one healthcare system, one approach to the environment. You know, the outcome of partition is there isn't a train to Donegal. There isn't a proper road to Derry. That's not counted in this report. And that's the things we need to talk about. There isn't proper health services. Like, Donegal has part of maybe the highest poverty rates on the island. And it's a direct consequence of partition. It's not mentioned in this report and the cost of dealing with that.
To pick up on a point that Joe raised about the possible economic benefits as well, you know, when you've got kind of a lower wage economy just up the road, just over the border at the moment, but possibly just up the road in the wake of that border disappearing. I mean, wherein do you see the opportunities there for economic growth?
Well, I think the big
and how challenging
the big
might
opportunity
they be?
Is foreign direct investment, and the fact that you see reports here that, you know, there isn't enough housing for bringing people in, there isn't enough infrastructure, and yet 100 miles away there is. And I think that is a big thing. There's potential for huge financial services entities to come into Belfast and the surrounding areas, and that has been on the table for a long time. Even in the negotiations around Brexit, that we've a chance to create something really good here.
Robbie Smith, editor of Unfublocked, former General Secretary of Sinn Féin. Joe Lynham, News Talk's business editor. Thanks a million, both of you, for joining me here on the show. One of our listeners says, shouldn't England pay for the cost of reunification if the majority of Northern Ireland choose to reunite with Ireland? That is from Sean in Dundalk, who goes on to say in another text, 28% of employees work in the public sector versus 13% in the south. How do you square this circle in the event of united Ireland, says Sean in Dundalk. Sean, I know what most people's kind of gut reaction to that is. We need to reduce the amount of people working in the public sector in the north. We need a bigger public sector in the south, actually. It's tiny compared to the size of the private economy. But anyway, there's no votes on that.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.